Sometimes something beautiful happens in this world. You don't know how to express yourself, so you just gotta sing.
I just have to.
Is he getting sweatier and sweatier?
Would you?
By the minute.
To be honest, I'm surprised she even wanted me to do it. Doesn't really make sense. But man, screw it. I ain't one to argue with a good thing. She could be my wife. You're the best 30 seconds of my life. I'm so humble by the possibility to let me do this. Have sex with a pal. With that in mind, the soft
night. After the elephants. Nice. I'm glad we didn't miss that one. It's called Keeping a Marriage Fresh.
You know, she's probably like, my boyfriend is so funny.
God, I hate them so much.
Whose idea do you think that was? Hers or his?
She's got that vibe where it was hers. And
don't know. He seems so thirsty for attention that it might have been his idea.
You know, I'm at a point now where the only things I click on YouTube are stuff that I know I'm going to hate. Unless it involves actual animals, of course.
Did you think you were going to be watching actual porn and then this came up and you were mortified?
No, I just typed in, I hate to say it, animals having sex. Hey, we need an opening video and, you know, you go with what you know. And they came up and I was like, ooh, let me look at this. I'm going to explain it. Here's the weird thing. I don't necessarily know if they're a couple. He said he called her his assistant, and I couldn't tell if that was a joke or not. If it is, that there is a human resources case throughout that tape.
And that tells you right there that it was his idea. He wants the full credit.
But
if he's just billing her as his assistant.
Everything he said could have been an animal sex having lie. I'm not sure. They certainly seemed comfortable with each other. I feel she's more than an assistant. She's an assistant with benefits, apart from actual proper health care. But, like, benefit sex-wise or a lawsuit? I don't know. But, yeah, it's hard to look away and hate them.
I wish that they really committed, not into the act of actually, you know, doing it, because gross. But costumes, right? Like, wouldn't it have been better if each animal had its own costume?
She shat, not shat, spat in his face.
We don't know that.
We didn't do the whole thing, and God, you really are a fecophile. Here's hoping that the deleted scenes involve lots of animal-on-animal scat play. Fingers crossed, and you know what? There's always tomorrow. But they...
Should we get them on the show?
I'll look it in.
For a live performance?
Why not? Oh, God. I could see them really... embracing their roles, and this place just covered in shit when that show comes on. We'll put a tarp down just in case.
Good.
I don't want to stereotype. I didn't look at exactly where those videos were made, but it just sort of screams Florida.
Yeah, I was gonna say rhymes with shmymammy.
Yeah, exactly. I would almost say that, or maybe even like a West Palm, some place that's close to a destination, but not the actual destination because they've got.
Let me correct that. Shmymammy Airport.
Yeah. Maybe they've got some time on their hands because they work for the TSA at Shmymammy Airport.
Do you think she's like a second grade teacher? In her off time, and
she's not going to be for much longer.
What does he do, do you think?
I think he enjoys the benefits of her being a second grade teacher. I think that's what he does
probably.
For a living. Yeah.
He's like,
assistant.
You get summers off, I get the whole year off.
Yeah, exactly. We can vacation together in summer, and then during the year I can study up on animal sex practices while you're actually studying up on kids.
How many views does that have, Garrett?
Close to 16 million.
That is disturbing.
I don't want to help him now.
He has almost 2 million subscribers to his YouTube channel.
Wait, what are the other videos on the channel?
I'm fascinated by this
guy. He's like an influencer then. That's his job. He's like a YouTube
sensation.
It's
all like prank sketches.
Now I feel bad I gave them publicity.
But then the girl...
Wait, what's that one that says, I want to be a stripper?
You know, it's all like... They put a fake, a hidden camera, and she tells her mom she wants to be a stripper. And
oh.
They react and then tell them it's, you know, that type of stuff.
They are an item, and one of the videos is surprising Derek, we're having a baby, parentheses.
God, yeah. These are garbage people.
50 Shades of Grey, prank!
Your butt is too small, prank on your girlfriend?
I'm sorry I gave them.
I would love for my boyfriend to say my butt is small. I want him to say I look emaciated. I think that's beautiful.
You're sending the wrong message to all.
Have I ever sent the right message?
You're right. Oh, that looks terrible. See, the other thing, too, is I thought there was some sort of educational thing to this. But if you're just doing a fucking sketch, now I feel terrible. All right, now we
And
will
it says he lives in California, L.A.,
Oh, yeah. He relocated. They all do once they reach 16 million views.
I don't blame him, man. Seven's got our own Seven Chaperones got a wonderful makeover site. Many people do. It's got like 10 views on it or something already. This guy is killing it. If she got even half that, she'd move to L.A.
Yeah, it's always so interesting to me when there's like the millions of followers. I do wonder how many are like in China. Do you know, or how many are like the international... viewers.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that if it's as easy to get, like, fake Twitter accounts following you, then I would assume it'd be just as easy to manufacture millions upon millions of YouTube hits if you really wanted to.
I mean,
are there ways to fix that, to show that it's fake?
I don't know.
There's got to be a machine. There's got to be a guy that lives in Russia out there that you can just pay to give you a bunch of hits.
Yeah, I feel like lately there have been, like, sites that have said or threats of, like, it's going to be removed, all the fake ones, so now everyone's going to see how many followers or views you really have.
That's good.
But I sort of feel like with music, you know, there is a formula for having a hit. I forget what it's called, but it is a series of chords that create, like, a memorable song, so they're always chart toppers.
Doesn't that mean there's a finite of hits that can be made, then? I mean, which ways can you do it?
Well, totally, and that's why so many songs sound like each other. That's why you have mashups and things like that. But with these videos, there must be a formula for content or, like, when you upload it or, like, who's going to see it or tags you use or things so you get more hits. And I just don't care enough to learn all of that. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have millions upon millions of views.
That cuts into my napping and self-hatred time. So no thanks. It's going to remain a mystery. Now, Russia is far away. See, my segues are getting worse and worse. England is less far away. I believe this is England because it's got to be. You've heard of prank wars. Have you ever heard of plank wars?
Plank, like the fitness activity?
No.
Like the pirate activity?
Kind of. Okay. But these guys didn't necessarily walk the plank. But I've got some noisy neighbors, but I've never woken up to this before. I love the fact that this guy prefaces that he was in his nana's house. But here's some, here's a plank war. I used to do this as a kid, but like not serious.
But that's like battery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't hit the woman. Oi, you taking the piss?
Oh, my God. If he hit her when he wound up behind.
Oh. Look it. She gets into it. That's my kind of girl.
I love how at first she's like, let's keep the peace. And then she's just.
Fucking great.
Also, is she grabbing planks from inside?
I think she's going all the way upstairs and coming down. This is like a bad video game in the 80s.
Why do they have so much lumber?
Plank man. And then going upstairs, grabbing another plank, coming back down. Meow, 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 meow. He lost a life.
Wow.
This would be a video game just in England. It would never do well in the United States in 19.
This is when you can't afford medieval times, right? You can't see the real jousting, so you just look out your window to your neighbors.
You know what? Their ancestors lived it, and now they're just doing what's in their DNA. Like, this seems like a little more delicate.
Now he's just cleaning up.
I think because those are all their planks. Don't give them more artillery. I mean, why would you give the bad guys more bullets?
Totally.
I mean, the plank's going right back in your face, buddy. People, I like it when they're dumb.
Man. But then I'm so curious about what the story is.
I just think it's British people being British people, man. They don't have less guns, so they got to make do with what they've got.
But they aren't they like stiff upper lip people? Like they don't resort to this sort of activity.
Well, you know, they didn't settle it with words and whining. They settled it with parts of their home.
I guess so.
And you know what? Stand by your man, ladies. If your man's in a plank war, you got to get up in there.
Perfect.
Plank wars. Oh, nice. Sound effects made live. That's how good the booth is. Oh, I keep thinking there's someone in there that's just feeding them more planks, like on the second floor.
Damn.
Well done, guys. This is a movie I'd watch. Although I could only probably get past episode 3.
I mean, it could be worse. Those could be machetes or...
Yeah, no kidding. These people did it right. The worst that could happen, a couple concussions, maybe a long hospital visit. I just hope they haven't reproduced.
You know what? The odds are they most likely have.
I think they're much better with birth control in England than we are.
Really?
Nah, I have no idea.
They're just
nothing
infertile.
To back that up. What did you do yesterday?
Yesterday? Oh, I did a lot of nothing.
Oh, that's my girl.
I did go to the Second Avenue Deli for lunch.
Oh,
had some pastrami. Had some... I did not have matzo ball soup because I don't like it. You can send me hate mail.
Well, you don't like Jews.
I didn't.
Sorry, Aaron.
I didn't say that.
I'll sit next to you if you want.
Had some split pea soup. Then I went home. I watched...
You split.
I did. I watched the movie Bad Times at the El Royale. I think it came out kind of recently. John Hamm is in it. Jeff Bridges. That girl who was in the sexy movies about 50 Shades. She's the daughter of someone. That's the only reason why she's famous. Some other very famous people. Chris Hemsworth is in it toward the end.
He's gorgeous.
What's his name? Who Nick Offerman is in it. Really good movie. Freaky, like kind of weird, but very good.
Is this a period piece?
Takes place in the 50s, 60s?
No, I meant is it about menstruation?
Oh. No, but there is blood.
Okay, good enough. Yeah, I can
you
tell
get
he's,
to see...
he's a jacked hippie.
You get to see all 12 of Chris Hemsworth's abs.
No shit, man. That is not fucking fair. It's body shaming me just by looking at it. So what was your review?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it like an 8. It was pretty good.
It was good?
Yeah, it was good.
I don't remember it being in the theaters.
I don't know when it came out.
This wasn't one of those made for Netflix joints, was it?
No.
I just because, you know, I like people dying and whatnot. I tried watching that I Am the Night thing.
Okay.
With Chris Pine. Have you seen the ads for this thing? It's on TNT
or
something.
So, yeah.
Well, I didn't know this, but it's based a little bit, loosely, sort of, 20 years later on the Black Dahlia murders of L.A. Have you ever heard of those?
Yeah.
Most famous unsolved mystery in that area of the United States or not. I didn't do my research, but I knew right away, because look at the big brain on Bill. It's just big hair, not a big brain. I knew right away that it was going to be about the Black Dahlia before they mentioned it, because they do a quick shot of the famous Black Dahlia house in L.A. And I took one of those, I am a virgin. I took one of those murders and haunted L.A. tours last time I was there.
Oh.
One of those like hearse buses.
Those.
Yeah, they're great. I like them.
The darker side or those sorts of tours.
And I recognize this house. It's sort of an architectural anomaly, but apparently this creepy doctor used to live there. And I think he was wanted on doing all sorts of weird, unnecessary surgeries on possible homeless people and stuff like that. And Black Dahlia was this woman that was cut in half in 1949. She was an emerging wannabe possible starlet. And they made like a smile with her blood. I don't think they actually cut her face. The Heath Ledger's Joker, I think, was a little based on that. And it was the way I'm not doing it justice, but the way she was killed was extremely macabre, a little bit ritual. We don't know because the killer was never caught. The guy that lived in this weird, weird house, I didn't give us enough for us to actually look it up, but you might be able to. There it is. That's it.
That's beautiful.
Look at that. I mean, how would you even describe that? That isn't like a style of architecture. That is just its own fucking thing, man. And it looks really creepy at night. to my knowledge, I don't believe anyone lives in it currently. I don't know if necessarily know if it's on the market, but it's got such a bad past. But that's it. That's definitely the Black Dahlia house. Well, the reason they call it that is because he was the number one suspect. But he, a lot of people think because he had so many ins with the coroners and the cops and whatnot, because he was such this famous doctor, that he got away with it and maybe even paid them off when they would find his victims, all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I already know how this thing's going to end before it even started. I mean, the girl's clearly his daughter or granddaughter. I don't know. No spoiler alerts because I'm not sure for sure, but
yeah.
It's all there to be taken. And also not to mention the fact that it was rather dull. Did not enjoy
really?
It. Yeah, it was all this setup. And one interesting thing happens at the end of this fucking hour, maybe 2 hour long intro. It's a mini series that, I don't know, take it off your list. Maybe I'll get into it on the second episode, but not impressed.
Yeah, exposition is always a bitch.
Chris Pine's a little too pretty, too.
Mm.
Well, see, but you like the really super pretty.
I do, but you know, we saw the preview for the Ted Bundy tapes, or
yes.
not the tapes, that's the docu right now that's on Netflix, but the film that's at Sundance that he's in. I think he's a little too pretty. I know that Ted Bundy is supposed to be...
He wasn't that good looking.
Handsome,
he wasn't
but
that,
this is like a little ridiculous. A little much. They show an image of his pecs and his abs. I'm like, I don't believe it anymore. Like,
yeah, thank you. That's what happens whenever Matt Walsh is in the green room. I'm like, too pretty.
I know.
A little too much.
He keeps opening up his shirt. I'm like, Matt, can you stop?
I know. It's just like, I get eye boners. Didn't know it was a thing. Happens when Matt comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to get to before we bring in our lovely guest? We got a good group today. Yeah. And Aaron.
Yeah. No,
that's such a cheap line. It goes every time. Oh, one thing that I wanted to institute into the show, but we haven't wanted, we don't have a sound effect for it yet. But be thinking about how we can use this. I think that any time somebody makes a good point or just really nails it, has a great point, we'll say, oh man, you shot the parrot on that one. Like, or it's just up to Garrett and John's discretion as to when to use it. But I have this very brief clip where we can have a gun sound effect over it. And they can, if they hear someone say something that they're just like, that guy is right on. Like, what he said, I'm for. We'll just shoot the parrot real quick. Take a look if we have it. We don't need the sound effect just yet, but...
It was not...
Okay, that one makes a good thing. Like, so pick your favorite parrot dying, and that will be our quick 1-2 second.
That one's the best.
That's the best one?
Yeah.
So, like, now today, we've got the gunshot. So today, you know, we got a smart panel here today. If they are making some good points, and you guys, again, use this to your discretion, they shot the parrot, man. That's it. Just, you know, we're in, we're out with the dead parrot. So just
no parrots were harmed in the making of that video.
They were. All those parrots had strokes. Sorry, thoughts and prayers. We can't help that. It wasn't
even
like
parrots have a droopy left side of the face.
All those parrots had Bell's palsy after their resulting strokes. All right, let's go to our delightful graphics. You guys, Robert O'Neill is finally back.
Yes.
He is a Navy SEAL, a New York Times and Sunday Times best-selling author. It's if you haven't bought The Operator yet, I will come to your house and take a dump on your lawn and a dump on your back lawn and then wait for you to fall on it. It's a great book about his life story and, oh yeah, how he killed one Osama bin Laden, much like shooting the parrot. Get to more of those later, hopefully. Matt Walsh, editor-in-large of Reason and contributor at the LA Times. You can also see him on We the Fifth, a wonderful podcast. Again, don't watch it, me, dump your yard. And finally, Aaron Berg. He is the much better half of In Hot Water, the show preceding ours.
Hello.
And I guess that's why we can't call it morning anymore, those usurping bastards. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having me. You know, I listen to that song every day because my daughter watches that movie every day now.
I am sorry. Is it the live version or the cartoon
version? The one where Josh Gad is gay.
That's the one.
Yeah, the very highly controversial one.
What? How gay is he in this thing?
There was one scene where he like goes up to Gaston and he's like, "You wanna fuck?" and I was like, "Why are they showing this to my kid?"
No. I do not know if that's true.
It's insinuated. And then there's also another scene where, like, the wardrobe throws all these girlish clothes at these men and dresses them up. And they're like, ah! But then one guy's like, hee, and he's excited. So it's a much more tolerant past.
Really? Wait, it's a very diverse group.
The dude at the end? I hate the fact that I know this.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those were the only scenes I watched.
Yeah.
I liked them very much. We've talked about this many times before. I'm sure you have to deal with it as well with your brood. everyone's making fun of all the sequels and the rebooting and all that, but Disney's just remaking all their cartoons as live versions, and they could do that from now and for 80 years, and they'll be just fine.
It's a lot easier than making up something new. I mean,
completely.
I think they're terrified after Frozen. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
We totally hit it out of the park. Nothing new is ever going to be that good again. And so let's just remake everything.
Well, I remember back in the day, they wouldn't make sequels. Or if they did, they were straight to video. But they're making a sequel to Frozen, right?
I mean, if I think maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think so.
Slightly thawed?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah.
Room temp.
Ooh.
There's a whole, oldest daughter is 10. There's a whole universe of YouTube conspiracy theories about Disney videos that are perfect for 10-year-olds. And the interesting one about Frozen is that, so the parents, you know, they go off. And it's Rapunzel is the cousin of Anna and Elsa, and she's actually visible in Frozen at the beginning with the short hair. She's coming for the coronation kind of thing. The parents go off to see, and this is where it starts to fall apart a little bit. They go off to see, drown, but somehow they hook up with the Little Mermaid people. So it's all part of this sort of interconnected.
Wow.
It's a huge.
Why would you do Easter eggs for 5-year-olds? They can barely observe that they've put pants on.
Don't do it for 5-year-olds.
For the parents.
Do it for the 8-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh, the 8-year-olds
are all locked in.
I really hope that they do a live-action Pocahontas, because imagine how problematic that would be.
Oh, man.
That casting.
You just have to hire an entire Native American cast, or you work on your tan, young lady.
I know. And I just get a 23andMe test done and hope for that 0.3%.
Joanne. I'm trying to think of a Native American name for you. Whines a lot. Joanne.
She could just leave it as is, but you just pronounce it different. Joanna. Oh, it's me, Joanna.
Let's do it like the Europeans do on all their Cowboys and Indians movies, so you cast the Yugoslavs. Like, let's get
nice.
Bronco from Montenegro in here.
Robert, have you heard of any type of interrogation thing where they actually just play someone they want to question a Disney movie over and over again?
That's actually
maybe
good.
A straight video one.
I've seen the YouTube video where the grandmother had the kid, and we're talking about Frozen, and the kid was just walking around saying, "Let it go, let it go." And the grandma's like, she's like, "Let it go." It's been 3 days. And she just, oh my, that would drive someone nuts. A parent that has to listen to that crap.
Just, kids' brains aren't fully developed yet. No. So you think we have wormholes. Like, once something's in there, it's just going to keep going and going because this part hasn't even developed.
Think about the genius of it, of the jingle that's coming along. And like we're saying, they're designed for 10-year-olds. There's always going to be new 10-year-olds. It's mailbox
man.
Like you read about. Good idea. But yeah, if you want to torture someone, play Let It Go over and over.
Yeah.
It didn't work for us, but we didn't think of it yet. I don't think we were right.
See, I'm here to help. No one comes to me for their interrogation.
Well, you're a new uncle, and it's and mazel tov to that.
Thanks, buddy. It was really hard.
If you were a bad uncle, like, I don't want to say my wife's brother, but for instance, my wife's brother, you would give an Elsa doll. That not only if you touch it, it's not even like you have to like look for the button. It's just like if you touch the tattoo on the side of the Elsa's arm because she's got some sweet tats. It belts out "Let It Go," and it does it in both English and French. So libere, libere, at any hour of the day. And just a cackling Frenchman over here in the corner thinking this is the greatest uncle gift.
And was the batteries going down? There's like a horror element to it.
Yeah.
It's just going
it's
on.
Like Black Dahlia.
The jingle sell. I don't know how many My Pillows I have because of that song.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about donating to Cars for Kids because, you get that shit in your head on the treadmill.
Isn't Cars for Kid like a cult?
Yeah, but, you know, it's promoting, poor spelling. That's not how you spell kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or Cars.
One of them.
Yeah.
One of them has a K, one doesn't. I've forgotten because of that name.
Yes.
Jingle. But see, the jingle's in my head now. This is super.
Yeah, it's really annoying if you do it
once. From kids bugging to athletes chugging. I don't know.
Yay, Bill.
It was a rhyme, but was it a segue? I don't think it was. Tom Brady, as if you didn't think he wasn't perfect enough.
Who's he?
Huh? You even know who he is.
I do, and
he's
I don't know
sports. He's the dreamy one. TMZ Sports, seems redundant, spoke with ex-teammate turned Impact Wrestling star Moose, a.k.a. Quinn Ojinaka. I believe, who blocked for Tom during the 2010 season. And he gave an unsolicited account of Tom Brady's pounding a brewski skills. Let's take a quick look.
He was walking out of the beer chugging contest. And he's as good as he is, being a quarterback, is even better chugging beer.
Really? So Tom Brady can hold his own with the alcohol.
Yeah. That's the best night out I've had as a football player.
Let's get Moose on the record. We know you played.
Such an energetic interview. Yeah.
What an interviewer. It's great to see Boschetti's got a job. That was fantastic. So you like beer to you? That stuff. That's awesome. It's horrible.
Is this a Canadian thing? Did you have a lot of chugging contests when you were growing up? Or isn't that like after a certain age?
You would chug, and we'd play Century Club, where you do like a shot every minute for 100 minutes.
Which seems simple.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
You did it in Montana, which is close to Canada.
California, which is close to Montana.
I did it in Mexico, which is close to California.
In New Jersey, it was just power hour. You do a shot of beer.
Yeah.
Every minute for
That's what we did at Century Club.
Every minute for an hour.
Yeah.
100 minutes.
I did it on my birthday.
You missed out on 4 drinks.
Jersey can't commit. That's why.
It's in the 90s when you're really like challenging.
It used to mean something. Look, Gino never grew out of it. He's 50 and he still thinks like you're really cool at YouTube. But it's like.
Because he's a bad influence.
Yeah, but it's like, how much you drink is like, if you can't drink a lot, then you're a pussy. It's that old adage. Yeah.
The shot thing came back to me thanks to Gino, because he's one of those dudes, and it's a very Montana thing, shot of beer. Like, if you're at a bar, you don't just have the beer, you have the shot with it. And that motherfucker will do it at, like, your biggest cookie-cutter Irish bar. I'm like, we are not at a bar with saddles for seats. We're in the middle of Manhattan. You don't need to fucking do this, but...
We have a Manhattan in Montana.
Oh, really?
You can do that exact thing in a place called Sir Scott's Oasis. Manhattan, Montana is a little small.
Sir Scott's Oasis.
Yeah, it's like the only bar
that was like figure out all the culture.
It's one of the best steaks in the country.
Wow.
They don't know it because there's not a big... It's not a big population, and most steaks in Montana are good, but yeah, Sir Scott's in Montana.
Yeah.
Just throwing out that little plug for Sir Scott's. They're not sponsoring me yet, but we'll get on it.
Nice.
Were there different types of drinking competitions versus growing up in Montana versus going to being in the Navy SEALs? I would assume either the guys don't give a shit how much you can drink, or that's a big deal.
No, I mean, yeah, like
no
in the
middle ground.
The whole, hopefully, at the legal age, people kind of make fun of you because you can't drink. And then in the SEAL teams, drinking was a thing until, like, right up to a lot of the military, like, right up to the point till the Monday when you start working out again. But then it gets to a point where you're in trouble again. You're late again. So don't be driving that car again. It's like, okay, this drinking thing could get me
no
in trouble.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean,
So you guys have to withstand, like, torture to some degree, yeah. and like, especially underwater stuff, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yep.
So do they incorporate alcohol poisoning?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That's actually a good idea, but yeah. Inadvertently. It's not part of the curriculum. it's definitely in there. It is funny, though, that when you get to a certain level, at the tier one level that I got to, there's a few squadrons, and when you become a Navy SEAL, you get an insignia called the Trident, Naval Special Warfare insignia. But when you get to the tier one level, then there's a patch, one for each squadron, and in order to get the patch, you have to do a yard. And the yard is one of those big yard glasses, but the bulb is full of liquor. So it's all full of, in our case, I think it was Crown Royal, and then it was cold Killian's Red. And you have to drink
Crown Royal's Canadian
under a minute.
Wow.
A yard.
In order to get your patch. And if you don't do it, you can try again in like a couple weeks or whatever, but you want that patch. We had a guy do, it's in my book, his name is Lance Vaccaro. And he had what's called the good yard gone bad, because what he had done, he decided it was a good idea before his yard to go to Boca de Beppo and eat a bunch of pasta.
No.
And then he went to his yard. And this poor guy, you know, you're all nervous because your mentors are around you. And so he was almost done with it. And you can't take your lips off, and he filled it back up. And then that was bad enough, but this is when shit went sideways. He drank it all again.
No!
And that's when everybody else started puking. He puked it all up. It didn't work out. He did do it the next time, but yeah, that's a...
I mean, you get an extra special tattoo for that.
You would
one.
Think so. I would have given it to him, but they didn't give it to him. He drank it, put it back in, drank it again. Then everyone else started puking, like, all right, enough.
Drank his own puke.
Next guy, rinse that fucking thing out.
What? Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's not part of the curriculum, but it does happen.
Was there a California equivalent, Matt, as far as these are
kids? My college
I'm
newspaper.
I'm going to resonate over you.
We were almost as tough as Navy SEALs at our college newspaper in UC Santa Barbara, which is notorious for being a very serious academic discipline type of school. I think it was number one party school.
College, yeah, it was.
For like 10 years running in the Playboy.
Yeah.
And that was definitely during our time. So every year, the incoming editor-in-chief has to down a fifth of tequila and eat an Oreo cookie, and yeah, and it has to be in one. See, it has to be in one go.
Down a fifth of tequila. Yeah. Okay, that's really impressive.
Does anyone else think the Oreo cookie part is weird?
It's like the chaser. It's like the peaches and Deadwood. It's just like it became its own thing.
I just had a drink. Now I want dessert.
Yeah.
Fifth of tequila.
When I moved to New York, if you wanted to be a comic, you had to drink 4 bottles of red wine a day for 3 years.
I'm not sure that was written.
Yeah, that was I'm pretty sure. I remember I pooed my pants at the comic strip. Yeah.
Oh, and red wine poo. Come on. That's no good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's oaky, though.
What is the go-to comic, like, substance that you can actually work under?
I think a lot of comics just drink beer, and that I think Coke's poked its head up again. I think a lot of more people are doing Coke now.
I've looked the other way. I will say this, as far as Gino is concerned, I've never seen a comic consume the amount of whiskey he consumes. I normally don't associate whiskey with comedians, but then again, how would I?
Gino works less now.
Oh, then maybe there's that too. It is actually it is kryptonite for him. Do girls do drinking competitions? They don't do this shit. Like, guys are stupid.
I feel like beer bongs in like a college thing, that was big. I've told you I played.
Tell me you did do that.
No, I can't. I feel like I'm drowning if I chug, so I can't physically do it.
You have a tiny neck.
But I told you, like, slap the bag was big for wine.
You just walk around and hit guys in the nuts.
I was very popular in college. Also, Edward. Edward.
No popularity works.
Anyone play Edward 40 Hands, where you have tape?
Oh, I know.
40s to each hand, you're not allowed. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't do anything until you drink both of
them.
Well, my wife's at work right now, but she doesn't know what she's going to do tonight. We're playing.
There you go.
It's a great
game of slap the bag.
Specifically, like with malt liquor or like something really disgusting. Mm. I don't know. I never played it
Schlitz
because
40s.
That's scary.
I know a drinking game that a lot of women play that they need to stop is screaming "woo" before the shot.
Yeah.
I'm a woo girl. I am.
Also known as bachelorette party. And boy, you can't sneeze without hitting one of those around here this time of year.
You can really drink out of your dick straw without hearing a woo.
Yeah, exactly. And dick straws and woos are synonymous.
I do always think it's so funny with bachelorette parties, all of the dick paraphernalia. Like, since when do we love penis that much?
It's the manufacturer's
I don't know
hoping.
Any girl who loves penis that much that they're like they want to be draped in it. Like, no.
I bet the owner of Big Straw is a man. I just know it. He's throwing it at you guys.
Cornered the bachelorette party just like Hallmark invented Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy is literally in his mansion sipping a martini out of a dick straw laughing at the rest of
us. Maybe we should say
girls hate dicks. It's new knowledge now. That's why I haven't had sex with my wife in like a month. She hates dicks. Keep rubbing it against
her. Relentless dick pics while you're live on air. Because not only does she see them, we all do. I enjoy them.
Yeah.
Come to me rather than her.
All right.
I actually, you know, we can run it at the end of the show because I didn't do the time code on it, and I don't want these guys to just sit through dead air. But I'll let you guys bet amongst yourselves. One point we had George Wendt, a.k.a. Norm of Cheers, on Red Eye, and I indeed had a chugging contest with him. We lied and said it was non-alcoholic for the benefit of people. All right. So who do you guys want to guess?
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Amazing. I'm saying
you look like
John asked me if I had a perm.
Hey,
this is
Steve
what happens.
Gutenberg
when
upset you took his hair for the day?
And Mr. Furley's coat, too. That's the worst part.
You still have that blazer. By the way, you have lead paint under your left eye.
There's a before and after quality to Normanize. Yeah, it looks like I got something there. Normanize hair.
I mean, right now in real life, there's lead paint under your left eye. I'm trying to make it. Your left eye, yeah.
Oh, look at this.
There you go.
Oh,
that's gross.
It's all right. Just don't eat it.
You don't even feel it. It's a piece of paper. You don't even feel this stuff after a couple of those chugging contests.
You got to stop snorting paper.
I know.
And that shit down at the Regal Beagle. I mean,
you're supposed to have...
I've got two women roommates.
Norm's supposed to win.
Huh?
Norm is supposed to win.
Well, then place your bets. Let's make this interesting. So
now I'm going to say Bill Schultz because
Because you're an asshole and you didn't let him win.
I'm going to counter bet. I'm going to go with Norm.
All right.
Norm?
Yeah. Go.
I already said I think you do because you're an asshole.
Right. Were you allowed back on the Duke lacrosse team after this?
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
It won't let me play. It just pauses everything.
Oh, Bill did that, so nobody wins the bet.
Conspiracy theory.
Thanks, Blue Chew.
That sucks.
Can we fast forward to the end then?
This is for actor George Went, but first.
Here we go.
It was a controversial ending because, see, look at this. This is.
You look like you've been lobotomized or something.
Yeah. I must consume alcohol.
It'd been so late in the day that I hadn't had any yet.
Noon.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Bill's getting excited.
He looks 14 years old.
As you can tell, it was a very slow game. None of us really was.
Sorry. That's exactly
how. Oh, it looks like George is going. Oh, Bill! Oh. I won.
I spilled a little.
Bill, like, kicks it back in, too. Bill goes, go, 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 go.
Fist pump.
Look how proud you are. Ugh.
It's controversial because I did spill a little bit. So I'm going to say it was a tie, guys, because we love Norm.
I think I like watching it this way better with it pausing every
and the dribbling
second
down
with the weird faces.
That happens without
the
beer. I wanted to get to this because I know there's a lot of service animals for vets, but not like this. Or maybe I'm wrong. We're about to find out. Weighing in at 60 pounds and spanning nearly 5 feet long, Wally is a service alligator. He's a central Pennsylvania man who is getting global attention thanks to the very special reptile in his life. So special is Wally that he's now been taking this thing. This is going to end badly. He's taking this thing to schools and letting the kids pet it, learn from it, and eventually sue it. This thing is never. Henny claims that Wally's never bitten any person.
Oh my God!
Let's take a look at some local reporting.
Henny rescued the gator in Florida when he was about a year old. He realized Wally's potential to help after a tough time in his life, death taking friends and family.
Oh,
I lost 3 in a week. 2 in less than 24 hours. I was laying down one day, and he literally crawled up on the cot with me.
God forbid,
and laid
this
his head
thing
on
dies
top of my face.
Now, Henny wants to share Wally, taking him to nursing homes and visiting with folks in the community.
He is registered as my emotional support animal.
And a sex offender.
But he has done a lot for us.
Henny plans on using Wally's influence to continue helping others. He's selling autographed photos of Wally's footprint to raise money to help a young autistic boy travel to see his dying mom.
I know what it's like when...
Oh, no.
Ah, see? Aren't you guys assholes?
You lose loved ones?
No.
Those are crocodile tears.
Shoot the parrot, Garrett. Ooh, I just rhymed. Nice, Garrett. Nailed it.
Especially because he held on to it for 45 seconds.
Aaron, I don't know if you saw, but that guy's cheating, although I don't think well, because there is a very concerningly thin rubber band around that alligator.
Right.
I think that's enough to hold jaws that can chomp metal or something.
That thing's going to eat a baby.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no two ways about it. It's like the monkey that ate a woman's face years ago. Yeah. It's going to eat a baby. It's human, not human nature. It's just nature. It's going to eat a baby.
Yeah.
You start messing with wild animals, it's one thing, because their nature is to be wild. And like the monkey that ate the lady's hands and face off, and then you've got, but when you get into reptiles, they don't have emotion. They don't even think.
That's right.
There's been cases in South America where someone passes out drunk and gets swallowed by a goddamn python. And again, like, it's just... Got to be smart about being stupid, but we should let Darwin at least have his theory once in a while.
Yeah.
An alligator?
Well, and we have a buddy that's on the show a lot that whose name will not be mentioned because he felt guilty about it immediately afterwards. He would report in Iraq and Afghanistan a lot, and he wanted to take his dog on the plane with him. So he went and said that he would get a service dog because he felt like he might have gotten some PTSD from that. He felt so guilty after he did indeed get the certificate to be on the plane with this dog that he never actually went through with it. But at what point do we say this is only for our vets? I mean, does everyone deserve a service animal, much less an alligator?
Pretty much is getting that way, but there's service birds that people are complaining about. There's certain rules. You can't bring your dodo or whatever the hell you got on there. And, I mean, service animals are great, too, but, I mean, it's a pain in the ass to have one of those dogs come on. As well-trained as they are, you know, they've got to sit with the service member. If someone's suffering from PTSD and it helps them with something, or there are dogs out there that can sense when someone needs their medication, that's great, but not everyone needs not everyone needs a surgical mask, and not everyone needs a goddamn service rhinoceros or whatever the hell they're bringing out of the plane. But it will get out of hand like everything else.
Yeah.
But once we keep taking it further and further, we're going to keep taking it further, and it's hard to take it back.
What I kept thinking about watching that guy is like, man, is he lonely. He's super.
I know.
Sad.
That's why I feel kind of bad. Yeah.
You feel like, but I mean, but that's a thing in America now. There's like, there's this weird kind of loneliness thing happening here.
Everyone's isolated.
He smells like my wife.
If you need to cheer up and you're all depressed, just get on Twitter. It's no negativity at all. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
It is a good example of why being alone is the best. You hate people. You like being alone. But maybe this alligator service pet is for you. He's cold and feelingless?
No. Well, yes.
Sharp teeth?
But no, the issue is, it's like because we don't like ourselves enough to be alone with ourselves. I love me, so I love being alone.
That's true.
I love taking myself out to dinner. I love buying myself presents. I don't need someone else to do that. But in this situation, this is the kind of thing where you have friends or family tell you, this is a bad idea, but he has no friends or
they're all dead.
So he can't.
Because the other alligator ate him.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Wow.
But Bill, I mean, you are one step away from having an imaginary friend. So do you think you should get like a pet or a service animal?
I drink my imagination away.
They were saying this
ago.
Dude brings this thing to nursing homes for old
people. Yes.
Those people have enough stuff going on. Just you going and,
yeah, just
and giving them attention will make their day.
Yes.
Leave the dinosaur in the car or something. Put the windows rolled down, but they're cold-blooded. I don't know.
He says that the dinosaur, not to get it, boy, we have a Disney theme, just watches, I believe it's Beauty, it might be Beauty and the Beast, really big theme,
yeah,
and knows exactly when it ends, and that's his favorite movie. I say no, it's an alligator. Yeah. They are cold-blooded.
It's so happy when it ends, because it's like I've had to pretend to like this
whenever
movie.
You hear about a human serial killer, you never hear, boy, he was a warm-blooded killer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. it's cold-blooded. Well, you found this one. I love this. What is it? The Build the Wall heart-shaped cookie? I think we have a little footage.
See if you can do it. Oh, come on. You're just
from I know. I usually am. I'm not anymore. From lonely to look at me peeking out.
Animal's ready.
Damn it. Oh, from diabetes to sugar. I'm sure that guy has diabetes, right?
Yeah, might as well. He has diabetes.
A baker in Washington apologizes for a Build That Wall heart-shaped Valentine's cookie. He claims he was just trying to be funny amid outrage and calls to boycott his store. A woman of Mexican heritage, Anna Carrera, took a photo of a cookie that said Build That Wall on it, posted it to Facebook, and said it felt like a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
The baker has since apologized, saying the cookie was a joke and not a political statement. Do we have a picture of said cookie?
This is a photograph that I took of the
cookies.
Like
when you say sad cookie.
Specifically the one that says,
well, it just looks like a wonderful screen grab on your phone.
It's really hard to see words like that.
What?
We were born here, but
is that a tattoo?
My parents were.
So that was a neck tattoo.
The stories that you see on the news.
Although, if you've got one of those
people crossing
ball
the border
piercings, you might have a neck
they want
tattoo.
To have a new start.
Nice.
You say something with enough hate. You chant it. You have white supremacists, the alt-right chanting it. It's going to become racial.
Oh, is that the baker?
Get out of here!
Of course, that's the baker.
Yeah.
Oh, does he not get to talk? Oh, there we go.
But it was really taken out of context, and it's not anything that I endorse. I don't think building a wall is going to solve our problems.
Of course you don't.
Yeah.
A cookie like this does represent that there is some sort of
beans,
addicted
to love, build that wall. You shouldn't vote.
Addicted to love and cool.
But see, okay, so addicted to love. Why did family members of those with addiction problems not get upset at that one?
Why did people in love not get upset at that one?
Or people with a gluten intolerance.
What about people that like warm beans?
People who are on a carb-free diet.
Warm beans.
Warm beans suck. Yeah.
This is just proof that hypersensitivity is going to be the death of comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
It already is. I mean, even the same thing with the... I'm on the other side of the fence with the guy that wouldn't
fence
make...
Fence or wall?
No, that woman's family's on the other side of the fence. That's why she's upset.
Think about the bakers that wouldn't make the gay cakes. Like, you're an idiot because you're capitalist. Just make the damn cake and sell it.
Yeah.
I mean, all press is good press. Make the cake. You don't like the cookie, don't buy the fucking cookie. Just get over it. Yeah. Damn, it's a cookie.
What strikes me is that, so she takes it as a personal attack. You know what is actually a personal attack? leading a highly publicized boycott against a small business.
It's kind of an attack.
Our mutual friend Nancy Rommelman, who's been on this show, her husband's coffee shop in Portland, Oregon. This is in Washington. I think it's no accident Pacific Northwest sensibilities coming into play here. Her husband's coffee shop is being the target of boycott. They've had mass people quitting. People are coming in and screaming because Nancy, on the side, who doesn't have anything to do with the coffee roasting company, on the side has a video blog with Leah McSweeney, who's a really good journalist, an interesting thing. They're both journalists, and it's called Me Neither, and people take it as rape apologia. And it's like, it's not at all. They're just like talking about Aja Argento being kind of squirrely and some other stuff.
She talked about it on the show. I didn't think it was going to be as immediately problematic as
It's like it is absolutely hammering their business.
It's hammering every business.
People are leading a boycott.
What a fuck!
In the name of feminism, they're telling the husband to shut the wife up. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, that, no kidding.
That hurts you more than whatever injury you took from some person's YouTube channel over here.
You're trying to silence women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, continue.
Yeah. Be seen and not heard.
Speak
Be seen
when
and not heard.
Spoken to. He was heard. Talking to me clearly. Let the boys play. Aaron, if this is... we shouldn't be encouraging me besmirching Joe. Aaron, Matt's absolutely right. It would only be a personal attack if he took those fucking cookies and started pelting Bull Woman with them.
Yeah.
Other than that, their cookies are just existing.
That's absolutely right.
What are your thoughts on this?
Eat cookies. Eat cookies.
What if you're trying to watch a weight?
Aaron, my only problem with this, he says it's a joke, but was it actually
It wasn't a joke.
Funny?
He got caught. Yeah. And it was funny to him and his friends, and now he's backtracking, which is never a good look. Whenever I get in trouble, I never apologize, and we just keep going. You got to double down. He should have doubled down and been like, don't listen to Spix, and then made a cookie of that.
Oh.
I think that would help. And then he'd be like, it's a joke.
It's been like 10 years.
You know what I mean?
Garrett makes those kind of cookies all the time. Hopefully
I know
they'll
that,
be
that's
ready
a
by the end.
That's a dated racial slur, but then he could have been like, this is part of the nostalgic cookie collection.
It
was a different time when these cookies were made.
Bakery could be called
consent
teachable
meant
moments.
It meant I consent these cookies to your house.
Joe, there is such a thing as bad publicity, though, because didn't Chick-fil-A's numbers go up as far as people visiting the store when they were against gay marriage or something? Or am I wrong on that? It was something along those lines.
You are part of the problem. They are not against gay marriage. The owner donated some money to an organization
called Stop Gay Marriage.
Is not for gay marriage. Is that right, Matt Welch? Does that sound about right? Something like that. But the company has said that they are not specifically against it, although they do have a Bible verse, I think, or a psalm as one of their,
Joseph said upon thee, do not let the fairy marry.
Yes.
I believe that's what it was.
That was directly.
Oh, Stone Age rhymes. I love it.
But you know what? This is great. This baker is getting publicity. People who love walls and cookies are going to go there now. And I hope that he does some good business.
You think so? Or do you think him apologizing weakens that? And now people will be like, I think if he goes, it's a build a wall cookie. What's your problem? Then I think people would go.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Because there's
Washington, man.
50% of this country, and it's they'll spend their dollars on something that they believe in. If that guy goes, I believe in this cookie, then people would go seek it out. But him being apologetic, I think this is something to keep an eye on, Bill. I want to see the numbers.
Oh, we can do a down date. Actually, I think we have one today. But Welch is right. It's all about real estate because, I don't necessarily see this going to be a good thing for Nancy's husband. I think that there's not going to be people.
It's hurting them.
Yeah.
I'm from the West Coast. I live here. I am definitely all West Coast all the time for everything. But there's one big difference to that is that the Chick-fil-A, not far from here, it's in Midtown-ish, right?
Yeah.
In the height of that controversy, lines around the block.
Yeah.
Because people in New York are like, this is a commercial town. It always has been a commercial town. And I want a damn chicken sandwich. And, you people can have your fights in Brooklyn or amongst yourselves tweeting in Brooklyn. But the actual, when the rubber hits the road, we're not going to let this affect our commercial decisions. That's not true. And Portland is where they had the woman who... I think a lesbian couple who were running a burrito truck And
yeah, burritos.
They went to great lengths to like find some regional cuisine in Mexico and bring back what they learned there. And they were accused of cultural appropriation. Oh, of course they were picketed and they were shut down because Portland, right now, where my parents are from, where I went every single summer, remember flannel? Remember grunge? That's because people wore flannel because they were out shooting and hunting and fishing all the time. Portland, Oregon, you can't do this kind of stuff anymore. You're going to get shut down because people care more about this crap.
Portlandia is a very funny show that is so borderline real with their satire that it's getting scary. Just like you said, with the way that people react, you're like, oh, this is a joke, right? Oh, no, these people are serious.
It's a documentary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, we have some fathers on the panel, so this one might be good. From cultural appropriation to gender appreciation.
Sure.
But she doesn't really appreciate gender.
Determination, maybe?
Oh, that's good.
This is a down date, everybody.
Oh, let's go to the
instead
graphics.
Of an update, it's more
a
depressing.
Bummer. We already did that. I know one day it's got to come. Where are you traveling? I mean, at least stick to paint
roads. Yesterday, we announced that Kate Hudson was raising her baby genderless. Apparently, that's not right. Kate Hudson clarifies, saying she's raising her daughter with a genderless approach. The whole clickbait tactic of saying I'm raising my daughter to be genderless is silly and frankly doesn't even make sense. She says, I raise and continue to raise my children, both my boys and girl, to feel free to be exactly who they want to be. Rafi?
Her daughter has a huge beard.
Me saying a genderless approach was a way of refocusing the conversation in a direction that could exist outside of the female stereotype. I just try to raise my kids to be good people with the best tools to face this big, crazy world. So she has a girl. She's comfortable saying she has a girl. It's not like she's saying I have a they
right.
or them. This is a girl. However, I'm not going to stereotype her into the box of female characteristics and traits and normalities.
Yeah. It's an ugly daughter, and I don't know where they bought her that suit.
Accentuates the beard. Well, I mean, you were raised to be a girl, but not to be a good person. So I'm starting to like this genderless thing.
Yeah.
Your final product is alarming.
Guys, is this backtracking, or is this what she meant all the time? And should I continue to be raised genderless?
I can't believe that this is her third kid and she's coming with this. Because, I mean, a lot of people, when we had our first, I was like, you know what? No princess stuff, no Disney stuff. You know, we're gonna expose her to Tonka trucks, whatever. Like, we don't want to overplay any hand. And within, what, like 18 months, 2 years? Like, dude. There is such a huge gender difference. I remember friends of ours, we were living in Washington at the time. It's like a lawyer and it's just super white collar people, absolutely like had never had their hands dirty with anything or any calluses. Had this look of horror on their face because every time they would even turn on YouTube, their boy would lunge towards it because the only thing he wanted to watch was there's some weird, like almost porn like videos of. Huge tow trucks pulling other trucks out of like a pit of trucks.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, I don't even know how to change a tire. And my boy is like doing this. Well, your beautiful ideas about how you're going to do gender, they absolutely collapse as soon as you see a girl and a boy next to each other at an early age.
Yeah. I've seen it too. I remember I have daughters and it's the same thing. It's like, maybe the room's pink when she's born, but at that certain age, it's princesses because she wants them.
Yeah.
And I had a cousin I grew up with, and I knew since, I didn't know what gender was, and I knew since we were five, he's gay. There's no doubt.
Right.
About it.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of tell. And I mean, as long as it's like, how Kate Hudson raises her kids does not affect me.
No.
And I hate getting triggered. I don't believe in that shit. Get over it type stuff.
Yeah.
So if it's not hurting anyone, cool, do it. And I think Kate Hudson meant what she meant, was like, I'll just let the kid be the kid.
Yeah.
The problem that I have with some of this stuff is when they're sexualizing a 10-year-old transgender kid, boy in a naked male in a strip club.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
No,
because that's affecting someone that may or may, you know, because that kid's looking for attention. whole different bag of cats. But as far as letting the kid be the kid, let the kid be the kid. You're going
to
know.
Yeah, and I've got some friends that have boys that they don't want to have anything gun-related. And when we were growing up, our guns could have legit robbed a bank. They were realistic looking. But now they're all yellow and red and everything. Okay, they even let them have it. But these kids, if they're in a gun-free family, we'll just take two sticks together. They will find anything and turn it into a gun.
It'll be a gun.
Like, it can't, like, it's just trucks, guns. It's just, that's this weird mentality that you just can't take away, no matter how much you try to do it genderless. Erin, your child is not at the age yet where she knows what gender is, but then again, neither are you.
She just wrote a paper on it yesterday,
actually.
Oh, she
did.
It's been published in both Vulture and Jezebel.
Nice.
It's called My Thoughts as a 17-month-year-old on Owning a Vagina in a Man's World.
I never knew they could be that young and empowered.
She gave it to the opinion desk at BuzzFeed, but they're,
they're all fired. She's a girl. My daughter's a girl. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think she looks like a boy because she's got my good looks, but she's a girl. I'm raising her as a girl. Well, whenever she goes, hey, what's a tranny? And I go, that's under the Chevy, and you don't drive until you're 16. And that's what I say.
Nice.
I mean, 24.
Well, yeah, 24.
Well, I do feel like sometimes things can backfire. Like when I was a kid, my uncle always used to get me Hess trucks for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I dated a series of truck drivers.
Yeah.
You know?
And did meth.
That backfire.
Yeah, you know? So, like, I like living that trucker lifestyle.
Look, our daughter's growing up in New York, so she's learning about everything. I don't know. She's 17 months. We're not, I'm not, I was around, like, a lesbian stand-up comic, and she goes, she started talking to my daughter. She goes, you don't have to wear pink, and you don't have to be a girl. And I go, get the fuck away from my kid, lady.
But really what this is, it's not about gender. It's about privilege, and it's usually white privilege in these scenarios because most people, what they're thinking about when their kid is this little is keeping them alive.
Yep.
Like, how do I just make sure my child keeps living and that it's fed and I don't accidentally kill it?
That's kind of your only job as a parent for the first 2 years is make sure it doesn't die.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. I'll get the princess shit later, but like once we keep them alive.
And the more that I'm around them when they're at that useless little blob state, the more I realize, why isn't every baby dead? Like, looks so easy to just, like, pull over them.
According to the news lately in New York, they will all be dead.
Wait,
your baby day.
Is that a national holiday yet? I'm all for it. We got time for one more. Did you want to do the driving one? It's going to get a little old.
Best and worst.
And also, I bet you're a bad driver.
Best and worst drivers by state. Car crashes are the leading cause of death in the U.S. and were expected to cause around 40,000 deaths by the end of 2018.
What? What about overdose?
Overdoses are way higher.
This is fake news.
Maybe that it means like vehicular death, like planes, trains, automobiles.
Well, that's like saying guns are the leading causes of gun deaths.
I was looking at that list today too, and you know who gets a bad rap? Who I think, and I've traveled quite a bit around the world and a lot all around the states. I think the best drivers in the country are New York City cab drivers, and I'm being honest with that.
Mm.
Oh, I see that.
Because they're dealing with pedestrians, with assholes, with other things, with Uber, and they get around.
Many distractions. Oh,
yeah. And it's like driving through Romania during
talking to their family on their phone.
Yeah, they're on the phone a lot.
Uber drivers are horrible. And like all the TNLC license plates, the black cars, they're always awful. That's who I get cut off.
So the worst. Yes. These are the top worst. Maine is awful.
Wait a second.
Maine's the best.
What do they have, California?
Is it Maine the best one? The number one?
No, Maine is the worst.
Is it
the
really?
Best is Michigan.
Huh. Where's New York?
And it's because Michigan's insured. These are about insured drivers. So insured drivers are the best in Michigan, although 1 in 5 don't have car insurance.
Nice.
So that's not necessarily.
It's like rugby versus football because they don't have the helmet. There's a
question. Yeah. The rankings are a sum of weighted means calculated from these incidents: accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, citations, and fatalities.
Well, they don't give speeding tickets in Montana.
You know, that was going to bring that up.
Yeah, no kidding.
They used to not. We had the signs would say speeding limits safe and prudent. And
that's really?
I'm serious. But the problem is the number of accidents decreased, the number of fatalities increased. Because you're crashing at 120 miles an hour. And so safe and prudent meant based on what the cop judged your car as, should you be going 120 miles an hour.
Can you still have a crack an open container?
Yes. There's some weird thing there. I don't know. There is some weird rule there. I got to look that up. I'm intrigued. They have some funny rules up there in Montana. We just got electricity.
By the way, have you opened up the brothel yet as a bar? Have the property?
Brothel, you know what? I was trying to buy that thing, and it went into foreclosure, and someone bought it. They didn't tell me when the auction was, and they paid like 20 grand for it. I know. There's a haunted brothel I was going to buy up there and turn it into a
best bar.
Is there any other kind of brothel, though?
Very good point.
That's very true.
There's a place, there's an... in the like kind of inland desert, California, Nevada area, where they have, I think, actual submarine training there. It's this weird town whose name I forget. They have military barracks, and there's a clown motel there that is the creepiest looking clown.
I've seen that on like the Travel Channel. Yeah,
you should buy that clown motel.
I don't know. I'm kind of
turn it into a brothel.
Clown brothel.
Clown whores. Oh my.
Clown whores and like. You know, Navy submarine.
We're doing submarine training in the desert. There's some shit going sideways with the haunted clowns. Dead
Oh, man, clown hookers. So, wow, that's a great idea.
Montana lawmaker wants to make a one for the road law where a passenger is allowed to drink one beer as another person is driving in the car.
That's just common sense. Like logic to
that's
me.
That's not already allowed? No,
I don't think so.
You're not allowed to have open containers, yeah.
Yeah.
Or meth.
Yeah, no math.
That's kind of a big deal up there, I guess.
Yeah, it's.
I guess
it's starting to be everywhere. I think, Aaron, I am not a good driver, so I choose to live in a place where I don't have to own a car. Yep. Am I the real hero?
No, I did it for years. Now I drive, and it's much more pleasant.
Aren't you always annoyed in thinking about what the traffic will be like when you're going from point A to point
B? No, it's all. I just go, Siri, take me here. And then Siri tells me where to go.
Did not know that was an option.
Yeah, it's an option now.
Wife is like, stop calling me Siri.
Yeah.
The worst part is it's his daughter's name. She can barely fit her hands around the little wheel.
Love driving in the city. It's great. At night. Don't drive in the day.
No kidding. I don't even know if the night's fun. Guys, this was as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Don't know what happened to my voice there. But can we go around the table and let me know what you want to plug and promote before we send you out into the rain, I guess.
I'll be at the Philly Comedy Club this Friday with Gino Bisconti.
Oh, we'll go for you, though. Robert, what do you got?
Yourgratefulnation.org. I'm transitioning veterans to the private sector, and it's actually a serious thing. I wish it could be funny, but it's not.
No, but it's a good thing, and I like getting out there both times of the show as much as possible.
And, of course, my book, The Operator. I also did the audio. I narrated it. And if you're in the gym working out, pop that baby and listen to some good stories and get your pump on.
How long does that take?
About 8 days.
8 days? Yeah, I would just...
I imagine it's a lot less days when you can read.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'm fucked. Mr. Welch?
Follow me on Twitter at Matt Welch. And tonight, there's like 10 people out there who ever watched the television show The Independents that was on the Fox Business.
Yes, I love that show.
Kennedy and Camille Foster. Both myself and Camille Foster are going to be on Kennedy's show.
Oh, great.
It's going to be a little bit of an Independence reunion.
I am absolutely watching that. I love The Independents. And I didn't like most things on that channel. I can't believe Fox Business is even still around. Joe, as usual, you've got to sum things up. First, we'll go to your graphics.
Make
this one thoughtful.
I just want to go on record saying I do not think Tom Brady is attractive.
Really?
I think he has the weirdest looking face. I don't get it.
But you like pretty boys.
I'm attracted to talent, but I'm still not attracted to him. Wow. He's not pretty. There's a very Neanderthal. It might be the brow.
Sloped brow thing?
I can't.
Does he have that?
He looks like the court drawing of him, is what you're saying.
Yes.
One that,
That is the most hideous face.
His mirrors, they have a zit stash. What's going on underneath his
nose? In two different directions. I can't.